The book of Ruth, please. First chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 10. And I might just give a little bit of a background right before we begin to read. I want to read at verse number 10. We know that Elimelech and his wife Naomi had went down to Moab. There was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, there in Israel. There was a famine, and instead of staying there in the land, they went to Moab, which was a heathen country. And when they went down there, it wasn't too long, then Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died. They had two sons, and they had married Moabitish women, which was against the word of God. And it wasn't too long, they died. After they died, why, Naomi had heard word from Bethlehem, Judea, that God would bless again and brought bread back to the land of Israel. And so she was determined that she was going to go back to Israel. And the discussion, as I'm getting ready to read at verse 10, the discussion was being made on whether the two daughter-in-laws was going to go with her. They was going to make a decision whether they was going to go back to the land with her, or whether they was going to stay in the land of Moab. So in verse number 10, they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, and they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, the more also if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfast-minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty hath dealt with very bitterly with me. And I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returneth out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you today for your wonderful grace and your wonderful goodness to your people. And I'm thankful, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and I trust, Lord, that I'll do a right, proper thing, and I'm lifting him up and honoring him today. I'm so thankful for him. And Father, he's the one that deserves all of the honor, all of the praise, all the thanks, all that we can give him. Thank you for him that he came, died, and Lord, and was raised again, Lord, for our justification. Thank you so much. And Father, again today, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom, needs your help. I ask you bless as we preach this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Some time back in our Sunday school, adult Sunday school class, we preached through the book of Ruth. And I found the book of Ruth to be one of the great blessings. And I so enjoyed myself just the teaching through that book. Gained so many insights and truths from the Word of God, and it certainly done things for my heart. One of the things that I came out of the book of Ruth with was a great respect for this dear lady. And when I read about her, here she was a Moabitess, come from a heathen country, heathen parents, and yet what God done in her life and how she reacted to that is absolutely tremendous. And I call her one of the great mothers of the Bible. Now you say, Brother Ross, there's not a whole lot said about her motherhood, and that is true. In fact, you get through the book of Ruth, you see her coming up to the place where she marries Boaz. And at the very end of the book of Ruth, you find where it mentions the fact that she had a child by the name of Obed. And so it don't tell us a whole lot about the fact of her motherhood, but I do know this. I know she had of Boaz, she had Obed, which was the father of Jesse, which was the father of King David. And through the lineage of Ruth came the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking this morning, I was just sitting there thinking about, here it is Mother's Day, and I'm so grateful and thankful for mothers and glad you're here, and I want to be a blessing to you. But I was just thinking how grateful I am for the Lord Jesus, how wonderful He is and how good He is, and how this morning I wanted so much to uplift His name and honor Him in this place at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I just want His name honored, and I want people to love Him and appreciate what He did on the cross of Calvary for us. I want that so much. And that should be the desire of us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that we do that. But Ruth, I believe, shows that she was a great mother, not just by what the Scripture says about her motherhood, but about the choices she made even before she became a mother. Now, I'm not saying that everybody makes those choices before motherhood. Some people make them afterwards. Some people are grandparents before they make the decisions or the choices that Ruth made. There's no doubt about that. But I was thinking how great it is that here Ruth, a great example, made some of the greatest choices of life before she ever became a mother. And I want to just basically look at some simple truths in the book of Ruth and share with you some things that I'll show you why I think she became a great mother and was a great mother. First of all, I just want to show you that she decided to take the God of heaven as her God. In verse number 16, and I'll get back over there. Verse number 16, it says in chapter 1, "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." And I was so thankful when I looked at this, and I thought, what a decision for an individual to make. You see, you've got to understand that Ruth came from a heathen country, serving heathen gods. Because if you would look back up in verse 15, when Orpah decided to stay in Moab, the Bible says that she's gone back unto her people and unto her gods, the little g. Ruth was one of those who grew up in false religion. She grew up under false gods. And yet she made a decision when she come to understand that Naomi was serving the true and the living God. She made a decision to absolutely make Him her God. And I would say to you mothers today, if I could say anything to you, that you just listen to this, listen especially to what I'm going to say right now. Above all, make Jesus Christ your Savior. Above all. Maybe you don't understand all the depth of it. Maybe you don't right now, maybe even all, you might be here and don't even understand the principle of salvation. I don't know. But all I do know is this, the greatest decision that you can make for yourself and for your family is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and make Him as your Savior. That's the greatest decision. And Ruth did this. She took the God of Naomi and made Him her God. And let me say to you that there's not a mother alive today that can be everything that she should be without Jesus Christ as her Savior. It's just an impossibility for that to happen. And I say to you this morning, you know, one of my greatest desires this morning is to help you as a mother, or maybe one of these days you will be a mother. Maybe you're a mother now, maybe you'll be one in the near future, or maybe you've been one for a long time. I want to be a help to you. I want to be a blessing to you from God's Word. The principles that I am giving you and am going to give you today are not principles that I have thought up. These are principles from the book, the Word of God. And I want you to listen to them and hear them and know that these are things that made Ruth a great mother and also will make you a great mother. And God wants that for you. So the first thing is simply this. Be sure that you are saved. Be sure you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Be sure there's been a time in your life when you've been born into the family of God. In other words, I believe something. I believe the right kind of mother is going to love her Savior. Amen? I believe she ought to love her Savior and put Him first in her life. First of all, what has He done for her? Well, He's given her salvation. He's given her eternal life. My, what a blessing it is to realize that Jesus Christ died for us and has given unto us eternal life. He gave you salvation. He saved your soul, made it possible you could spend eternity for Him. What a blessing. So we ought to love our Savior. Not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ allows us, even then after we're saved, to serve Him. To be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the greatest wonderful privileges that any person can have. And mamas, one of the greatest privileges you have is to serve the Lord by being a good mother. My, what a privilege that is, and what an honor it is, and what a responsibility it is simply to serve God through motherhood. Not only that, the Lord Jesus Christ will give you the strength to stand when you ought to stand, when things are difficult in life. He'll do that for you. Not only will he be your Savior and He will help you to serve, but He also help you to stand. There's always going to be difficulties of life. There's not a mother here that would not testify of the fact that down through the years there's been difficulties. Every one of you would testify to that fact. And yet at the same time, we have a loving Savior who will help us and help us to stand and to do right. So I say to you, mamas, above all, make Jesus Christ your personal Savior. Not only that, she decided to walk the narrow path of the godly. I want you to look again at verse number 16. He says, "And Ruth said, I entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go." She decided that Naomi was walking that straight and narrow path, and that's the path that she was going to walk. Naomi, wherever you walk, wherever you go, and Naomi was a person who had made a decision to get back right with God and go back where she should have been. And she says, Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going to go. In other words, I'm going to walk that straight, straight path. Mamas, if I can encourage you this morning, yes, make Jesus Christ your Savior and then walk with your Savior. Set an example in your home of godliness for your children and for your grandchildren and for your great-grandchildren. Walk as God would have you to walk. Bible says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And I say to you, you need that narrow, straight way of the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. I believe something. The right kind of mama is going to love her Bible. She's going to appreciate the Word of God, and she's going to love the Word of God, and she's going to believe, as the Bible says, that all Scripture is given by inspiration from God. It is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. It is, and that's what you and I need to help us. Mamas, that's exactly what you need to help you be a good mama. There's going to be things that you're not going to know what to do when you're raising those children. And God has that there for you. He'll give you instruction. He'll give you correction. He'll reprove you when you need it reproved. He'll give you the doctrine you need. He'll do all those things. And above all, you need not only Christ as your Savior, you need the Bible, the book, as your guide. And a good mama is going to open that Bible. I'm going to read that Bible. I'm going to study that Bible. I'm going to follow the principles of that Bible in the rearing of her children, you see. That's a thing that's been on my heart for so long. I told them in Sunday school, but I can't get away from it. I've been this way for quite a few months now. One of the greatest tragedies I see in Christian life is the fact that most people won't take the Bible as their guide. They just won't do it. They say they do, but they don't. They say, oh, the Bible, yes, I believe the Bible, but they won't follow the principles of the Bible. And because of that, I see it over and over and over. I see people tore up and hurt over and over because they won't follow the Bible, what the Bible says, the Word of God says. And I say to you, oh, mamas, listen, get that old Bible out and love that Bible. Believe that Bible. Follow that Bible. Don't just let it be a book that sits on your table and gathers dust. Let it be that book that guides your life, that guides how you raise your children and how you become a good wife and all of these things. Let it be that which gives you direction for life. And I say to you, a good mama is going to love her Bible, and she's also going to believe it. I mean believe it, and she's also going to enjoy it. You know, the Bible is an enjoyable book. It brings help and blessings to us and encouragement to our hearts. I want to tell you, I understand a little bit because I've lived in the, not only was I a son, but I've lived in the house of a mother, my wife, for many years. And I know what the Bible has meant to her and the instructions and the help and the strength that has been to her down through the years. And I'm just simply saying to you, God wants you to enjoy your Bible and love your Bible and be encouraged by your Bible. I've come home times before and my wife has read something from the Bible and she's all encouraged about it and she's telling me about what she read in the Word of God and she was encouraged and strengthened and helped that God met that a need of her life that day and she shares it with me and I think, what would we do without the Bible? What would we do without God's Word? So, you know, it's a narrow book. It's a straight, narrow book, but it's the Bible, God's Word. And so Ruth decided that she was going to go where Naomi went, which simply was saying, I'm going to walk with your God. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to walk where you walk, you see. Not only that, in verse 16 also we found out, he says, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. See, she decided to take the home of the godly and to make her home a godly place. She said, that's where I'm going to lodge. I'm going to lodge in the home with Naomi. Wherever you lodge, and again, Naomi is representing here a woman who's coming back to God and doing things that God would want her to do. And she said, that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to be where you are, Naomi. See? And he said, I'd like to ask you this question. What it would be a home without a godly mama in it? I would not want to live in a home without a godly mama. I think about that and I think what a blessing and a help it is to homes that has godly women in them. That just simply walk with God and direct the home and help the home go forward. You see, and you just can't have the right kind of home without a godly woman in that home. Let me say another thing also, that great mothers who love God produce great children who love God. There is no one in the home. I know the parents, I know the man has a great influence. I understand this. Greater than probably we like to admit. But I don't believe there's any person in the home that has more influence than a mama. You know why? She's with those children every day of her life. It's up to her to train them, feed them the spiritual truths from the Word of God, and train them the basic principles of life. And that influence that she has upon those children, upon that home, cannot be measured today. I don't think we even understand how great influence that the mamas have upon the home. So I say to you, mamas, all be godly mothers. Be a mother that just loves the Lord and be a mother that loves her home. Amen. That cares enough about her home that she will be a constant blessing. That she knows that that's where God has put her. A place where she's to guide and direct that home. The Bible even tells us in the book of Proverbs that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Don't you know a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband? Brings honor to her husband? That's what the Bible says, if we believe the Bible, amen. Listen to the other side of that. It says, she that maketh ashamed is a rottenness to his bones. That's the other side of the picture. But a virtuous woman is a crown unto her husband. When people go out, they'll say, oh, yes, yes, I see her. She's the wife of so-and-so. What a blessing she is to him. What an honor she brings to his name. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Amen. Mamas, be that for your husbands. Be that for your children. Be a blessing to your home. Love your home above all.
put it first in your life. I realize after God, but God would have you put it first in your life. Guide your home. You only have those children for such a short period of time. You have such a little period of time to guide and direct their lives in the proper way. And I say to you, please, mamas, love your homes. Not only that, the Bible says over in Proverbs 31, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. You know what? She's a busy worker. She cares for her household. Her household is that which God has given her to care for and to look after. And he said she rises up even when it's still night and giveth meat to her household. And he's not only just talking about food there, talking about all kinds of meat, the principles of life, talking about taking care of them, watching them over and seeing if they're taught right and all of these things. She rises up early and does this. Why? Because she loves her home. She cares for her home, and she knows that God has put her there for that purpose. And then also in verse number 16, she says, I will go, and where thou goest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She said, thy people are going to be my people. Folks, listen, this is so important principle. Do you know usually, and you see this in school work, we've had a Christian school here since 1977, and I've seen this principle over and over in the school. You take new students into the school, it won't be very long, you'll know a little bit about that student, because you'll know who they make friends with. You'll see who they pick up their friendships with. You know, listen to me, folks. It is so important, mamas, that you have the right kind of friendships. Godly friendships. Let God's people be your people. You know the old saying, if you lay down with dogs, you'll get up with fleas? Did you know that's true? And did you know that's true also if you lay down with people with bad character, you're going to get up with bad character? You need, and I need, to be around people who help us and build us and is a blessing to us and an encouragement to us and will help us to be more godly than we've ever been before. I'm simply saying to you, you know, if I want to be a better Christian, you know who I'm going to go to? I'm going to go to somebody who's a better Christian than I am. I'm not going to somebody that isn't doing it. I'm going to go and I'm going to contact those who are doing better than I'm doing, and I'm going to find out what they're doing, how they're living. I'm not going to go to this person who's ungodly, unfaithful, and all these other things and say, how you doing it? We already know. Amen? So I'm simply saying to you, Ruth said to Naomi, my people, thy people shall be my people. Why? She knew it was important that she be with the right kind of people. So I say to you, folks, mamas, listen to me, mamas. Let me give you some good advice. You want some good advice on how to raise children? Find out those who's done it rightly and go ask them. Pick their minds. Say, what did you do? How did you do it? Go to those who's done it rightly. Don't go to those who hasn't done it. Go to those who's been doing it for years and got the job done. Don't go to someone who failed. Don't go to the mechanic whose car doesn't run. Amen? Right? Amen. Don't go to the electrician whose house burned down, a faulty electrician. Go to the one who's doing it. And if you want a good example as a mama, go to a mama who's done it and is doing it and living for God and walking with God and faithful to God, and go and ask them, what did you do? Thy people shall be my people, said Ruth. I want to be just like you, Naomi. I want to be a faithful lady, and the people that you hang around with, that's the people that I want to hang around with. So I say to you, listen to me. A good Christian mother will do something. A good Christian mother will love her church. For there she finds the fellowship she needs. Oh, yes, she'll love her church. She'll attend it faithfully. A good Christian mother will be in the house of God when the doors are open. She'll attend it very faithfully. It'll become a very important part of her life. And not only that, she'll be a servant in the house of God. She'll want to serve Jesus Christ. And not only that, she'll pray for it. She'll not criticize it. She will encourage it. She will not go home and slaughter it with her words to her children and family. She will brag on it and encourage it.
That's what a good mother will do.
You know why? You say, why is that important, Brother Ross? So one of these days, her children will one of these days love her, their church, and be a blessing to their church, and not criticize and run down. No, no, no. But we'll be a blessing and a help to it. If you teach them to criticize, they'll do it when they get up. Amen? So I'm saying to you folks, mamas, love your church. You want to help your church? You say, Brother Ross, the church is imperfect. I don't know of a perfect one, but you want to help it? Then be a blessing to it. Serve in it. Love it. Be faithful to it. Amen? So thy people shall be my people. People I want to be around, I want to be around other Christians. That's who I want to be. I want to spend my time around other Christians. I don't want to spend my time, all my time around the world. We had to spend our time sometime around the world, but my desire is to be around God's people. Thy people shall be my people. And not only that, in verse number 17, she says, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. You know, this to her was not a short-term thing. It was not a short-term commitment. She didn't say, I won't be with your people up until a while. No, she said, when I die, I want to be in the same place I always was. I want God's people to be my people. I want my God, your God, to be my God. When? Clear till I die. It was a long-term commitment. It was until death. It was a lifetime decision that she was making. And I say to you, it needs to be a lifetime decision, Mama, that you're just going to love Jesus and going to walk with Jesus and going to serve Jesus and love His church and work in His church and do what is right until you die. Amen? Where thou diest, she said. That's where I want to die, you see. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know what John Wesley said? You've all heard probably John Wesley. He said, our people die well. Amen. God's people die well. I was, Don and I was over with Sister Kay for a while yesterday, and her mother, and she was sitting there rubbing the hair of her mother and kind of fluffing it back, you know, and all of that. And Mrs. Storm's laying there, you know, and she'd went to sleep, and God is blessed and not really given her pain and things like that, but, you know, at peace with God, and she had lived her Christian life, she'd loved the Lord, and she had served the Lord, and now it's time to die, and God's people die well. I told Kay up in when my daddy was dying in Indianapolis in the hospital, across the hall all the night before that night before my daddy died, there was a man screaming at the top of his lungs in a room across the hall all night long. And a nurse came out of that room so exasperated one early in the morning, and she turned and looked back in at him and just said this, if you had God in your life, you wouldn't be like this. And I'm going to tell you, that's true. God's people die well. And Ruth said, Naomi, I want to die where you die. Long-term commitment, you see. And I say to you, when it comes to dying, when it comes that time, die as a Christian. Amen. Die as a child of God. And then also, in verse 17, she decided to be buried amongst the people of God. She said, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. And I thought it was interesting because I thought to myself, even in death, she did not want to be with the world's group. Even in death, she wanted to be buried. See, that's the way they used to do it in the Old Testament. They had family places where they purchased land and they buried their family on this parcels of land. That's what it was, families gathered together, you see. That's the way they'd done it back then. And they had places, special places. And she was saying, I just want to be buried with your family, Naomi. I want to be buried with you, you see.
You know, I want to say something to you, and I want to say it kindly and graciously. This pastor means it kindly and very graciously. You remember when Joseph, right before he's dying, and gave instructions that his bones was be carried up out of Egypt? You remember that? And you find that in the book of Exodus, when they left Egypt and went back to the land, they carried up the bones of Joseph. Can I say something very kindly? They didn't carry up the ashes. They carried up the bones. All throughout the Word of God, you find that God says they died and was buried. Now, folks, listen to me. I know that cremation does not determine a person's destiny. I know that. But there isn't a person in here hadn't walked up to a gravesite and maybe shed a tear over a loved one that's laying there. You know they're not there, but it's a reminder of them. Donna and I have plots. We've already bought our burial plots over near Fillmore, Indiana. And right back where we have those, I can look across to where I was born, in the house I was born in. That don't mean anything. It's just something that's where we decided to do it. I hunted the fields right up next to the cemetery as a boy. It kind of sets back out in the country area. And as a boy, I hunted those fields, rabbit hunted those fields all the time. And we have burial plots there. But it's not for us. I mean, we're not going to be there. But it is for our children. I think they need a place to be able to go and just simply think and meditate. And I don't mean all the time. I just mean once in a while, go by, and it brings back the memories of childhood and brings back the memories of mom and dad. It's very important that you leave those memories with your children and for your family. Don't be selfish and say, I think I'll just go and be cremated. Don't be selfish. Let them have a service. It's important they have that service so they can grieve and do a little crying, do a little remembering. It's important. I'm giving that to you as a help, not condemnation. I don't know your situation. I'm just simply saying I'm giving that to you as a help, trying to be a blessing to you this morning. Also, in verse number 18 and 19, says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? One of the things that we notice here, she decided that she would rather have the reward. In verse number 22 there, the last verse, they went back to Bethlehem. But she would rather have the reward of God's people than to remain in Moab. You know, she might have even found it better in Moab. That's where her family was. But she said, I want the rewards of God's people. You know, that's what Moses did when he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Every person makes a choice. What's my choice going to be? Am I going to choose God, or am I going to choose the world? Am I going to choose the rewards that God has for me one of these days, or am I going to choose the rewards that the world has for me now? Mamas, this morning, if I can just give you some help and encouragement, choose God. Put God first. No matter what happens, just put Him first. And the reason I'm saying that to you is I don't want you to get older and look back with regrets. I want you to love your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to love your church. I want you to remember back, not that you was a troublemaker in a church, but that you was a blessing to the church. I want you to be able to look back on that, because once you do it, you can't wipe it completely out. And I want you to love your Savior, and I want you to love your church, and I want you to love your Bible, the Word of God. It's a wonderful book. It's God's Word. It's absolute truth. I want you to love your home as the place that God has given you, a very special place. I want you to love your husbands. Love them with a wonderful love, as God would have you to love them, as the Bible instructs us to love them. Love your children. as that precious gift from God that God has given you, and the responsibility He's given you to raise them in the admonition and nurture of the Lord, and He hasn't given it to anybody else. God has not given that responsibility to babysitters. He's given it to parents. Did you hear me? He gave it to parents to raise their children in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. So love your children enough to do it. And love the responsibilities that God has given you as a mom. And they're great. Amen. They're great. Love those responsibilities and say, God, thank you for letting me be a mom. And one of these days, don't look back on regrets and be sorry that you didn't do it God's way, because then it'll be too late. Just do it God's way, and God will help you. He'll teach you. He'll show you. He'll guide you. He'll meet the needs of your life. But just be a mom. You know, the Bible tells us over in Timothy this, I think it's the book of Titus. He talks about ladies, and he uses two illustrations. He calls one of them a busybody. The other one, he simply says, be a keeper of home. Don't be a busybody, but be a keeper at home. You know, I want to say to you, moms, one of the greatest things you can do is just be a keeper at home. Just, you say, well, there's a lot of things out there. Oh, no, you don't have a greater privilege than being a keeper at home. For God has given those instructions. So I encourage you, moms, just be a keeper at home. Love your family, love your home, love your church, love the Bible, love the Lord, and just keep going on. And the instructions that I've given you this morning, if you'll just listen and take them from the Word of God, you'll be a happier lady and a more fulfilled lady. And you'll please the one who needs to be pleased, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, please. I just want to mention a couple things to you and ask you a couple questions. You say, Brother Ross, I'm here this morning, and I know, and we're not just giving this invitation to moms, but we're giving it to everyone here. I know for a fact that if I died today, I know I would go to heaven. I've got that taken care of. I've received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There's no doubt in my assurance in my heart. There's not a doubt anywhere. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Put them down. I'm going to ask you another question. You say, Brother Ross, I could not lift my hand, and I am not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to. I'd like to get that settled this morning, and I'm concerned about it, and I need to be sure, above all, that I'm right with God. And I want you to pray for me, and as I always say, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to point at you. I'm not going to do anything else. You're just simply saying this. Would you pray for me that I'd get that taken care of? Would you just raise your hand, please, and indicate that? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Someone else? Someone else? Say, Brother Ross, I'm just not sure I'd go to heaven, and I just need to get that taken care of. Someone else, please? Heavenly Father, again, I thank you so much for the wonderful grace of God and your goodness and kindness to us. And once again, as we go into this invitation, it's your invitation. We want you to have your will and way in it. And Lord, we want people to respond because it's in their heart to do so. And Lord, that they realize how good you are, how great you are, how wonderful you are. And so I just simply pray that you will be honored today by decisions being made, Lord, in a way that would honor your name. I pray for the unsaved, God, that they would get it straight this morning. They'd come and receive Christ as their personal Savior. I pray for those who are saved, that you would strengthen us in the faith and help us as we walk with you. Now, Father, I thank you again for your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.